Children come in very handy sometimes, right? Ted's always been a blessing. And, you know, being the firstborn isn't the easiest place in the family unit. I'll tell you, he protected his kid brothers and sisters. He'd stand between them and he'd take the punishment. And you know what I mean? Like he always did. Anyway, demons. I know it sounds like a strange subject, but really, I thought it would be just awesome. Oh, well, let's go to Luke 4. And I'm sure you'll learn something today. I know I learned, even though I've, you know, taught on this for years, but just researching it, the Lord would point out extra things. It's interesting, you know, the Old Testament does not speak about casting out demons. And yet under the New Testament, it was very common. You know, the Jewish people, they cast out demons. Jesus, of course, cast out demons and commanded us to. And it's interesting to note, if you look in our Great Commission there in Mark 16, verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." It's the first sign of a Christian. The first. You know, amazing. Okay, Luke 4, and we'll look at verses 40 and 41 here. I have about 70 scriptures in here, but we're only going to turn to, you know, 18 or 19. I did cut back. Okay, verse 40. "Now when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he, of course, Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and they were healed. And demons also came out, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, Jesus, rebuking them." You know, this word rebuke gets a lot of people in trouble, especially when they're trying to do a deliverance. I mean, I know pastors that say, "I rebuke you," expecting the spirit to come out. Hello, wake up. You know, No. They may sound biblical, but they aren't getting anything accomplished. You have to actually tell it to come out, okay? But Jesus, it often says in the New Testament, "And Jesus rebuked the spirit," but it usually follows that up with the words, "Saying, come out of him." You know what I mean? To rebuke, you must command it to leave. Okay. "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, Jesus, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. You know, demons know us, don't they? They know each one of us. They know you're a Christian. I know Christians that, I know a lady who was in white witchcraft, which she thought was wonderful, born again, spirit-filled Christian. Hello, you know, something wrong here. And she had three little demons would sit on her shoulder, and she thought they were blessings from the Lord. You know, she still today has problems, health problems, and a lot of strange things happening in her family and things from this adventure she had with the occult for so many years. And, you know, she did finally come to realize, gee, I've got some demon spirits, and came for deliverance. And I'll tell you, she was worked, because she was one of our first, you know, that had been a witch. Anyway, we got her set free. And the Lord healed her as well, physically, and it was just a fantastic, wonderful thing that he did, you know. But they know you. The demons know you. This woman had these three little demons on her shoulder and attended church for over 20 years that way. I mean, I was thinking, of course, I would never say it. How stupid can you be? I mean, anyway, Yeah, they walk among us, people like this, okay? We'll stay in the book of Luke. Let's go to verse chapter 13, 11. Now, you know, those demons were happy in church. Mm-hmm. And most demons figure they don't have to be afraid of Christians. You know, God has given us the authority. Jesus gave us his name to use, his blood to use. He showed us how to do it. He says, I'm your example. Now, cast those spirits out, you know, but most of us don't, right? I used to be fearful of being called into the deliverance ministry, especially when the Lord told me that that's what I would be in. You know, and that I was responsible to share with his children about the devil and his cohorts and all the spirit dimension behind it and what's going on here, you know. And I was afraid of it, but then, you know, once I stepped into it a bit, doesn't bother me anymore. I can feel. I remember one night I was at my sister's place. I was down for a couple days in Niagara Falls, Niagara-on-the-Lake area, and I was going to sleep in bed. I'd already talked to the Lord. I'd already said my prayers, and I felt this demon manifest in the room, and I just kind of rolled over, and I told him, "Get out in Jesus' name." Immediately he left, and I rolled over and went back to sleep. Well, that's, you know, but my niece, I knew, did drugs. I thought that's probably why it's here. But how stupid of me. About 8, 9 years later, I'm in the same bed. I'm going to sleep. And I'd talked to the Lord. I'd said my prayers. And I said, and I thought of this demon. And I said, Lord, what was that demon anyway? And he said, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet you. Well, I, you know, you probably don't know all my health history. Believe me, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. You know, I've been through 6 times. I was diagnosed with cancer, and the Lord turned it. He turned it and healed me. You know, like God is so good. But the devil's so bad, and I really think the buffeting that I was receiving had to do in the physical area. But do you see how foolish I was not to find out what that was? I could have been so much healthier all these years, you know. But anyway, they know you. They know you. Okay, 13, Luke 13, 11 to 16. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Sometimes I'll just put Jesus in instead of saying he. Okay, there's a lot of he's here. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You know, when Jesus healed the sick, it brought glory to the Father. It brought glory to God. And you know, he laid his hands on her and spoke the words, and she was healed. You know, Jesus functioned in 7 of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I call it his earth walk. I don't know what else to call it when he was here with us on earth. And, I mean, he's still here with us, but his body is different. Anyway, but here we see gifts of healing working of miracles, you know. And we see the other ones working through him as well. Okay, we're going to 16. Verse 14, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus in 16 says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years. Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So again, you know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, Jesus knew how long, you know. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they function only as the Holy Spirit wills. I know in the area of demonology and deliverance and stuff, the Lord, sometimes he'll give me discerning of spirits. Sometimes I actually see them. Not as often now as when I was a younger Christian called into the ministry. Now, I know they're there. I can recognize by the person's actions or you know. You just know that you know that you know. You know, in word of knowledge, of course. But one-third of Jesus' ministry was spent in deliverance and healing. An entire third of his time here was in that. I have all the scriptures to back up what I'm saying. If I don't have a scripture to back it up, I'll tell you. I don't have scripture to back this up, but I think, you know. And there was no one that Jesus sent out to evangelize and share the good news and you know, the kingdom of God is here. And nobody that wasn't commanded to cast out demons. The 12 apostles, well, they were disciples at the time, right? The 70 disciples. And then, of course, our Great Commission. And as I mentioned, there our Great Commission in Mark 16, it's 15 to 20. But anyway, verse 17 says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons." And that's you and me. Or you and I. And, you know, Philip the Evangelist, in Acts 8, it comes out there, verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed." Okay, the nature of demons. Well, they're a spirit being. They live in the spirit. But they can only manifest themselves through a body, whether it be human or animal. I think they prefer humans because we have more freedom than the animals. But they'll take anything they can get, okay? They cannot do things without a body to do it, right? And they aren't happy outside of a body. They want to be attached to a person or within a person, so that they can function whatever they are through it. And, you know, some people say, "Oh, I must know the name of this spirit in order to cast it out." No, you don't. Mm-mm, no. You need to know what that spirit is doing in the person. Is it making, is the person blind because of the spirit? Is the person, you know, terrified? Is it a spirit of fear? Or if you know, if you can see what it's doing, that spirit that's making that person so agitated and shaken all the time, you know, you describe what it's doing and command it to come out. You don't have to have a particular name. A couple of times over the years, I have needed the name, the specific name of that demon, because it was a high-level demon. You know how there's different levels in the demonic realm. Ephesians 6:12, and funny, I didn't even write it down. Remind me later, Bruce. Anyway, it should be in here. But because of the levels of authority, I needed the name of that particular demon. And the Lord would give it to me in my sleep, or just give it to me, just the name. I think, what is, you know. But they were the major ones that I needed in order to set the person totally free, okay? And so don't worry about it. If you run across a case like that where you need to know God will make sure you know. He can tell you in a dream, in a vision, in a word. Just put that thought in your mind and you think, oh, I wonder what that is. And you look it up, oh, that's what it was, you know. And but anyway, we are all commanded to cast out demons. And I'm not trying to make you go out and do so. But we need to be able to recognize our adversary. And if it comes to the point where we need to cast them out, that child of ours, that grandchild, that our sister, we better know how to do it. We need to know how to do it. Okay. And you need to distinguish a lot of people. Well, not a lot of people. Some people like to say, oh, the devil made me do it. I got this spirit just forces me to go get drunk every night or whatever, you know. I mean, excuse me. If it's the flesh, if it's your body, you need to do something about it. God will help you, but you have to make the decision to fight against it, and he'll give you the freedom, you know. But you can't blame powerful. And the devil is only one spirit. He's only in one place at a time. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time, and he's with you all the time, all the time, all the time. Okay, and demons, they're outside influence that compel or drive a person to do certain, usually not good habits, unclean things, or unwanted behavior patterns and things, right? Okay, recognizing spirits. Well, every major sin, well, perhaps every sin, has a spirit attached to it, like murder or even like negative emotions, like negative self-image or guilt or, you know. I remember as a child, if anything went wrong at school and they said, who did it? I always looked guilty. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But I always felt guilty, you know. Like I had a lot of rejection as a kid. And when I look back, that's what it was. It was that guilt and self-condemnation, all that stuff under the area of rejection, right? But anyway, yeah, so, you know, there's spirits that can be attached to negative emotions, spirits that can be attached to sin. And again, the spirit, you know what it is by what it does through the person or in the person. Often they cause health problems. I know, especially if I'm praying for cancer, I make sure I take authority over all spirits of cancer. All spirits of cancer. When I was a baby Christian, first thing I tried to get rid of was unforgiveness because if you crossed me, that was it forever. You know, like, I was very unforgiving. And, you know, when I started walking closer with God, I thought, gee, you really missed it in this area. How can you do that? And you know, and I, oh, man, I worked at it. I really had to work at it. But finally I clued in, okay, I have to command the spirits of unforgiveness to go. And I'd say, And so I'd pray 3 hours in the barns while I'm feeding and cleaning and all that kind of stuff. And then when I come in after that, then I would, you know, take authority over these things. It took me 3 weeks, and I'd start commanding unforgiveness to go. I'd start choking and coughing and hacking and carrying on. Too stupid to realize that I just had to command all spirits of unforgiveness to go. And I'd have just choked and hacked for maybe 20 minutes and it would have been over with, not a continuous forever 3 weeks, you know. But anyway, get rid of all of that particular spirit all at the same time if you know it's there, okay? And every negative emotion will have a spirit attached to it. They aren't strong, most of them. Well, you're far stronger than any of them, even the spirits of the occult. But in the area of the occult, you must be very careful. They just want to kill you, okay? So you have to be very, very careful. You never, ever do deliverance in the area. If the person's been involved in anything in the occult, even something we think, oh, simply fortune telling, it's just tarot cards. Well, tarot cards will allow all of them in. Also, if someone has a problem with rebellion, anger, rage, murder, all those negative emotions, make sure you don't do that deliverance alone. Now, mind you, the Lord is more than enough for all these guys, but still, you know, I have seen little children, little kids with spirits of murder and things. And you cast them out and they cry and, oh, I'm so sorry. I wanted to kill you, you know. These are little kids. Little kids. Comes down the family bloodline, you know, like it's... Yeah, and a lot of health problems, like migraine headaches. You get constant migraines or, doing abnormal things or... extreme nervousness, biting your fingernails or toenails or whatever. Anyway, I remember before Hank was born again, he came home this one night from the bar with an old rubby-dub guy from town. He was one of the town drunks. Anyway, Hank had brought him home. They were sitting in the kitchen having a drink, and I went to bed and I went to sleep. Well, the Lord woke me up. I'm thinking. And there's these three little demons at the window there, across from the bed, and they start coming towards me. And, you know, and they weren't big. They were fairly small, these guys. And they were kind of like those monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil. Do you know what I'm saying? And they're coming at me. And anyway, I took authority over them and got rid of them. They left. And I thought, well, I think I'm getting up. I'll go to the kitchen with Hank. And I went to the kitchen. Well, they had left. Well, I guess they were with Bill Craig, and he left his hitchhikers behind. He didn't take them all with him. And Hank was not a Christian at that time, so they would have attached to Hank, so I needed to get rid of them before he came home. Or at least that's how I see the Lord telling me it was there and get rid of these things, you know. But, and I remember one time too, gosh, I didn't see it, but it bit me. And so there was one big snake spirit in my room, and I literally had two and two. He bit me on the foot, but I had the marks. And I thought, and I took authority over it then, you know, get out of here. But, I mean, the attack was horrendous. Well, of course, Hank and I were being called into the ministry. I was being called into the deliverance ministry. And the Lord said, you tell my people that the devil is real and that he is here. And, you know, like, that's part of my call. And I thought, and I said, Lord, I'm afraid of the devil. Can you give me a different job? He wouldn't change his mind. So, you know, anyway. Praise the Lord, I don't care now. I remember this one time. I give examples because lots of times the person will key into the example, and if I just read a scripture, you lose it. But anyway, this one little boy, and he was only 3 years old, and his parents had bought a nice new house there on Elgin Street, and not your neighbor. But they had put a playroom for the child downstairs. Well, he would not go down to the rec room. No, he would not go down. And this is a fair, well, people had lived there before, but, you know, it's a fairly new house. And so the mother, you know, will you come and pray through and stuff? So we got rid of any occult items, any zodiac stuff. And she didn't have much in her home. She'd been a Christian for many years, you know. But I'll tell you, so I went over to cleanse the house. Well, I started upstairs. Man, when I got to that basement, maybe I started the basement, whatever. I did the house. Anyway, when I started going down the stairs into the playroom, I could feel this swirling around me. It was like stepping into a nest of snakes. I kid you not, it was the most horrible feeling I've ever had. It was horrendous. And anyway, we got rid of it, and the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, taking authority over them. And the child was happy playing there. Well, a couple years later, they tore up the rug because they were going to put a new flooring down in that room. And there was the, oh, when they do a seance, what is that? Pentagram on the floor. So they had been doing seances there. A lot of occult had happened in that house, and that's why they were there, you see. But you didn't know because, but the child knew. He could sense those things down there, and you can take my toys down all you want. I'm not going, you know. The kid would not go. He was smarter than the parents, or more, yeah, you know. So, I'm mentioning some strange things, I know that, but we're going to be turning to Mark 5, so you can go there. When I, sometimes I get called and, oh, there, you know, this is the demoniac of Gadara. Anyway, Mark 5, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18. When I go to a home of a teenager who's in darkness, I don't know, not necessarily the occult, often they are dabbling, though, with witchcraft and you know, you see a LaVey Bible, you know you're in big trouble. But these kids will have, like, they love the color black. And they'll have pictures of skulls and skeletons and death. You see the peace symbol all over the place. Well, that has nothing to do with peace, right? The peace symbol, it's a circle. And within that circle is a straight line. And then two lines like this. Mm-hmm. It's the inverted cross of Jesus Christ. And the side arms are broken down or bent down for the power to drain out. The circle around the inverted cross of Christ is the encircling power of Satan. Okay? Nothing to do with peace. I remember Kim going to high school. She says, oh, Mom, so-and-so brought her bag and she had all these peace symbols on it. She says, I said to her, I thought you were a Christian. She says, well, I am. She says, well, why have you got that occult symbol on your, and so the kid got rid of it. But the child never knew. They don't know. Okay, so, oh, there's all kinds of spirits and things. Now, this demoniac of Gadara, it also comes out in Luke 8, but we won't be looking there. But, I mean, you know, they're come to destroy, steal, torment, deceive, condemn, defile, bind, and cripple. And, you know, I mean, spirits aren't nice. And, you know, this demoniac, he was driven or forced. In Luke 8, it talks about two different demoniacs, but the one came to be set free. and was set free. Okay. Okay, let's start here. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, Jesus, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, we're talking death, okay, tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And no one could bind him, not even with chains. Can you imagine being tied up with chains and you just snap them open? The supernatural strength, unbelievable, unbelievable. Now, in Luke 8, it comes out in verse 27 that he was naked. He would tear his clothes off and run naked all the time. But they seek death in darkness, you know. Verse 4, because he had often been bound or tied up with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. This is one guy we're talking about, but the supernatural strength of all the demons and stuff. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out. So he's being tormented. He's being, poor guy. And cutting himself with stones. You see this a lot. If you've got a teenager and they got cuts up and down their arms or something, baby, you've got a problem. And you need to take care of it quickly before they kill themselves. The highest rate of suicide is in our teenagers. Mm-hmm. They're just starting life. My goodness. Crying out and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he'd look at Jesus and all those demons in him would see that light or whatever. I'm not sure how they can recognize that we're Christians, but, you know, he knew. The demons knew who he was. He ran and worshiped Jesus, so he bowed down before Jesus, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." So they recognized Jesus, and, you know, anyone with a demon spirit, the demons will recognize you. The demons will know you. The person themselves, probably not, but the demons do know you. For he, Jesus, had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Well, we know this is the demoniac, and he had a couple thousand, so just saying one unclean spirit isn't going to get a lot done here, right? Then Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" This is the only time in Scripture that Jesus asked the guy's name. The only time ever, okay, and the man answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Well, you know, it's the guy's voice, but it's the demon spirit speaking through him. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, and all the demons begged Jesus, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now, why did they bother entering the swine just to kill them? You know, I mean, 2,000 of them, this must have been a strong person, you know, mentally, because he had all those demons trying to get him to commit suicide and he didn't. But the first thing they did with the animals was kill them. Now those who, they went in the city and told the people, all the people come out of the city. 15b. And the man who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, he's sitting and clothed. He's not naked anymore. Mm-hmm. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. The people are fearful. Why are they fearful? Why would they be terrified? They're afraid. And 17, they're pleading with Jesus to leave. Well, you know, when a body dies, any spirits attached to it leave. Oh, I have some real fun at funeral parlors. Anyway, how many had just left those pigs? You got 2,000 demons looking to attach to a body, and the people are sensing all that going on around them, and probably picking up some hitchhikers, right? This lady, I did deliverance on once, and lovely lady, beautiful little Christian, couple of tiny kids, but she had this demon that would take over. And it would come, she would have less than a minute to get out of the house. She would feel it taken over and she would run out the door and leave her three preschoolers at home alone and run. Because this demon was trying to make her kill her children, okay? She couldn't stay in the house, she would have killed the kids and you know. It was horrible, it was horrible. And she would run and run, probably no winter coat if it was winter, you know, like just run. And the husband would come home from work and find the kids and his wife is gone and what's he gonna do now? Anyway, when she came to her senses, she would phone her husband. But by the time she came to her senses, she lived in Cambridge. She'd probably be out, you know, towards Guelph or in Kitchener someplace. No clothes. She always, the demons always got her to strip down. And I mean, what had she been through all those hours? She'd be gone 6-8 hours, sometimes longer. She'd phone and her husband would go and pick her up. Anyway, we got the joy of doing a deliverance on this lady, and boy, she was a treat. And when she had been a child, her father was a very violent man and there was a huge family. But when he was having an evil temper, he would beat her. And beat her and beat her and beat her until his rage subsided. And even as a young child, so I think she probably was 6 or 7 that this demon spirit would come in. Her father would start beating her. And at first she'd be fearful. But then the spirit would block the blows. She didn't feel anything. And she didn't know what was going on. And it was like she would go in a trance. Some of these spirits, these demons are powerful. And this one, you know. Anyway, so that's what would happen when the father would come to beat them. And he'd always beat her, not the rest. And she'd take it so the other kids wouldn't get it. And, you know, it was really... It was horrendous. It was horrendous. But when we were doing the deliverance on her, we got rid of tons and oodles of stuff and the one that wanted to kill the one of murder and all that stuff. But there was one left. And we took authority over that and immediately she went into a trance. Thinking, So... how are we going to get her out of this? You know, she was in a trance for quite a while. We called her husband, and he said, oh, this happens often. And but this was the one that would protect her when she was a child. And I said, you know, we got to get rid of this one. She said the name of it. She said, I'm going to keep him. He's my friend. So we did a deliverance on her, got rid of everything except this one that was her friend. You know, like, but anyway, yeah, strange. There's a lot of strange stuff, you know. Mark 5, we're finished in Mark 5. All right. Okay, let's go to Mark 1. And we'll just look to a couple of verses there. Gee, Pastor Bill, you shouldn't have switched the time on me. It's supposed to be 11. Well, we'll go for a while anyway. Okay, we'll look at verses 23 to 27 and then verse 34. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Well, Jesus didn't want the Jews to know who he was, you know. So this is why he always told them to be quiet. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, okay, when you rebuke a spirit, you must say something and tell it what to do, saying, be quiet and come out of them. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice or a shriek, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And that's who you and I are. We can command those unclean spirits, and they must obey us. Okay, we have to be firm about it. Verse 34, then he, Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. They knew him. And he didn't want everyone knowing, right? So you would do the prayer of deliverance for people for, you know, sickness, disease, the spirits can cause that. Negative emotions in the spiritual heart. How many times has Pastor Hank had you know, rejection, rebellion, pride, and then, of course, the area of the occult as well. The occult stands alone. It's very dangerous, okay? But not too dangerous. You do need someone else helping you, okay? Just in case, you know, the spirit is very strong and wants to choke you to death or something. And but anyway, so it's good to have a helper. Oh, and I don't even know why I'm mentioning this, but I've found, too, the anointing oil of God Almighty works wonders. If you hit a snag, you hit a demon, man, you can't get rid of that thing. You get yourself some oil. And, you know, I used to always, I was scriptural, man. It was olive oil. And I pray over it, and I still use olive oil today when we anoint the sick or anything. But the main thing is that you pray over it and loose God's power within it. And I remember this day I was doing a deliverance. I think the woman was a witch. I can't really remember all the details. And this lady was helping me do the deliverance. So she was a cult or something. Anyway, she goes tearing up to the kitchen and she comes down with this French dressing. She says, Pastor Kathy, it's the only thing we have with any oil in it. And I said, it's perfect. So I slapped this, I prayed over it, and I get this French dressing on my hand, and I slap it on the purse. She's got French dressing running down her face. And But I'll tell you, the spirit came out. She got totally set free. God is not as picky as what we are, okay? So if you don't have olive oil, whatever you got, motor oil, it's okay. Pray over it. Pray over it. Put the power of God into it and go for it. And okay, how demons enter our lives. I'm kind of disjointed with this lesson. Through sin, I think we know that. Through fear. Anytime you are not in control, a demon can attach. Are you drunk out of your mind? Are you high on dope? Are you, you know, terrified about something? Are you going through a traumatic experience, just had a bad accident or just lost your mother or so many, you know, this very upsetting circumstance you're in, things like that. Even, and I don't think it hardly ever happens, but if you know, they put you to sleep for surgery or something, you are not in control, and actually a spirit could attach at that time. But, you know, I wouldn't be fearful of surgery because of that. You'll know if there's something different going on after, and if so, then get rid of it yourself, right? And it's not a problem. You know, I find, oh, things like a girl who was raped and things, those, they're traumatic experiences, something you never really get totally over. And, you know, even having sexual intercourse with a person, the spirits can transfer if they want from one to the other, because, you know. Anyway, there you have it. Generational curses, wow. They can go down to the third and fourth generation. I think I might have shared with you about my dad one time. He did have anger issues. I'll tell you, he was always like, he had this inner rage within, you know. And like he did his best not to lose his temper. But I'll tell you, you don't want to be around when he did. And you know, it was just, well, that's Dad, right? But about, oh, maybe 6 years or so before he passed on, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you are guilty of the occult, and you are guilty of being prejudiced. Well, I thought, excuse me, my maid of honor was black. You know, like, what are you talking about? I could have sworn I got rid of absolutely anything and everything that could be remotely to do with the occult, you know, like when pastors from Egypt come and they bring us those pharaohs and stuff and we thank you and we thank their, shake their head. When they leave, they go into garbage. You know, I mean, I don't want to seem ungrateful, but I know what those things carry with them. I don't need it. Anyway, it took me a few months. I said, Lord, I know I'm guilty. I have no idea why, you know. And it did take me about 3 months to figure it out. I said, you're going to have to show me. And the worst, my one grandfather had been raised to hate black people. They were beneath you, you know. And so I had to repent of that. And then my great-grandfather had been a high-level Mason. Well, hello. There's the occult. And that curse comes down four generations. So I have to repent for all four generations, for myself, for my dad, for everybody. Anyway, I went down to see my dad, I don't know, a few weeks, a month later. And my brother and sister were there, but they had left the table. And Dad leans over the table and takes my hand. He says, Kathy, he says, I've always been a very angry man. I'm thinking, you don't got to tell me that, Dad. I grew up in your house, remember? You know, like, but anyway. And he said, I have forgiven everyone. I mean, this is my where do you think I got the unforgiveness for? My dad, you know? Like, I have, you know, anyway, he's repented for everything, and I think he's broken any curses that he sent towards anybody, you know, because I hope that man dies a bitter death, and, you know, anyway, he said, I have such peace inside. And it was like he wanted to hug himself. He said, never in my entire life have I had peace like this. And he was just so happy and joyful. And he knew it was the Lord who had done it. And, you know, it was really, really great. But, yeah, but I had to repent. Dad wouldn't have known any of that without, you know, generational curses. I knew this guy. You remember Glenna, Ted? Glenna from her husband, Charlie. Nice guy. Nice guy. No male in his family lived to be 40 years old. As far back as they could remember. Anyway, I didn't know then what I know now, but I remember being at Charlie's funeral and his wife saying to me, she said, Kathy, the last few months he's just been beside himself saying he's gonna die, I'm gonna die. And he wasn't sick. This man was not sick, and he died 2 weeks before his 40th birthday. Generational curses that go down, all the males in that family line, you know. Just terrible, terrible. And, you know, we can become easily open to a curse. Mm-hmm. Like if someone who dabbles in witchcraft, you know, this lady I was talking about, she was a white witch. Well, which is okay, right? Well, still not okay. It's not okay. But anyway, I guess the difference is a black witch will curse anyone and hexes, jinxes, and incantations, all that stuff, whereas a white witch only curses the bad people, you know, someone who deserves to be cursed. But anyway, you know, it's anybody in witchcraft can attach a demon to anything they give you. Did they give you a lovely plant or a pitcher or whatever? Anything. It can be attached, okay? So, you know, you plead the blood of Jesus over it, you command whatever to take a hike and not to come back, or you throw it in the garbage and, you know. But also, you know, these are curses that you can pick up today. Okay, committing adultery, of course, you can pick up stuff, right? You can, I know none of us are in this. If your kid plays Dungeons and Dragons, first level, you call down curses on your entire family, hello. And there's a lot of those kind of games out there. We need to be careful what's in our kids' toy box. It's just, you know, we need to take care. How about movies? Oh, my goodness, when Chris was born, which was many moons ago, he was my youngest. And at the time, I'm going to quit after this, because there's no way I'll finish it. At the time he was, movie The Exorcist was out. Oh, yeah, oh, hey, you got to come see this. Oh, what a great movie. Anyway, so the first time, I think 6 weeks after Chris was born, Hank took me to see The Exorcist. It made me so sick. I said, I cannot watch this. I mean, I will puke if I sit here, you know. And we should have been clued in. There were police officers in the foyer when you come in. Oh, yeah, there were police and everything because they had to keep taking people away that would lose it, well, that would pick up demon spirits, eh? Right? You know, so stupid. We're so stupid. Anyway, I went to see The Exorcist with Hank, and partway through, I just couldn't take any more. I said, I cannot watch this. And he says, well, I want to watch the rest of it, he said. But I said, there's a restaurant just up the street. I'm going there. I'll meet you there after. And I left, man. I got out of there. But I did take a spirit home with me. Oh, joy. And at the time, Hank would go pretty well every night. And so he would go out. I would go to bed, and this thing would manifest in the back. The bed chair and that corner, it would manifest. And it would start coming towards me, this demon spirit. And I didn't know what to do. I was raised in a church that talked about pollution in the river, okay? Never the Word of God. There was a half a chapter in the Gospels read every Sunday, not explained, just read. And the elder did that, closed the Bible, and then the, you know, and it would come at me. And I was reading the Bible. Actually, when I first started the Old Testament, I was reading it to disprove it. I thought, no, this can't be real. And yet I'd been raised a Christian. Mm. How stupid is that? Yeah. And so I would read this. It was the greatest sleeping pill in the world. Because of these occult spirits and in the family line and stuff, I would open the Bible, I would read half a chapter and go immediately to sleep. Greatest sleeping pill in the world. But not only that, I would lay it open on my chest and the spirit would back up to that corner. He wouldn't move. He wouldn't move. He was afraid of that. Now, it probably wouldn't always work. Like maybe my guardian angel was there in spite of me at the time. What, I don't know. But I know I brought that spirit home from watching that movie. It was so evil, so evil. I'm sorry, we only kind of brushed into it. Maybe if it's okay, I'll teach the rest another time. Well, Pastor Hank's going to Serbia. Maybe Pastor Bill will let me teach one Sunday. We'll see. We'll see how kind he is to me or not. Pastor Bill. And you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving. Be blessed.